The Trump administration is the first administration to actually take a sort of a stern approach to challenge China and to stick with it.
A prediction of a long trade dispute. It's Monday, September 24th. This is VOA Asia. Hello, I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Join us as well on Facebook at VOA Asia. Also ahead, getting closer to a commercial trip to the moon. North Korea, a likely highlight at the United Nations this week. California's Little Kabul. It's all on today's VOA Asia. Jack Ma, the co-founder of China's e-commerce giant Alibaba, is warning the trade dispute between the United States and China could linger for years. Speaking at the World Economic Forum in Tianjin this past week, Ma said that people should make mental preparations for 20 years of China-U.S. trade frictions. He said the current economic situation is not good. Wednesday, in an interview with the Chinese state news agency Xinhua, Ma said his initial prediction of creating a million jobs in the United States will be hard to reach. He said the previous basis for trade has been undermined. Ma, who announced he is stepping down from his post next September, made his million jobs pledge during a meeting with then-President-elect Donald Trump in January 2017. Since then, the U.S. and China have engaged in a tariff battle over China's trade and economic practices. Grant Newsham, senior research fellow at the Japan Forum for Strategic Studies, says while he can't agree on the 20-year timeline, basically Ma is correct that this will be a drawn-out dispute with unforeseen consequences.
Traditionally, whenever there's been U.S. complaints about Chinese trade practices, after a fairly short while of back and forth, the Americans have conceded and gone back to business as usual to China's advantage. The Trump administration is the first administration, really, since China opened up in the late 70s, to actually take a sort of a stern approach to challenge China and to stick with it. They actually have a fair amount of support from industry circles, which is unusual. So this is something new that we're seeing, and I think it's throwing the Chinese for a loop. I think it's Jack Ma's a smart guy, and he recognizes that something's different and that the U.S. is angry. It's not going to back down and reach a face-saving agreement, as it's done in the past.
Jack Ma, also Thursday in Tianjin, said that China could make up its loss of exports to the U.S. by using its Silk Road that spans Africa, Southeast Asia, and Europe. Are those viable markets to make up for the loss of U.S. Exports?
Not yet. And it's going to be quite a while. The markets, the so-called Silk Road, these have huge infrastructure problems, just huge problems with simply doing business in these countries that need to be corrected first. And I don't see the demand from the Silk Road, such as it is and such as it can be identified, making up for the U.S. market and really the legitimacy that the U.S. market gives to Chinese business, Chinese industry. Take that away, and China knows it's got a problem, despite what it says publicly.
Grant Newsham said this is really about China abiding by its own set of trade rules, while the rest of the world is guided by another set. He said at the root, this is an ideological battle that will take time to resolve. These are among some of the top Asia stories you'll find right now on VOAnews.com. China cancels trade talks with U.S. after new tariffs. Secretary of State Pompeo says the U.S. would win a trade war with China. U.S. won't hesitate to impose sanctions over fuel to North Korea. Expanded coverage of these stories and more are on Facebook at VOA Asia, also at the VOAnews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. SpaceX, the U.S.-based space transport company of visionary Elon Musk, has announced that Japanese billionaire Yusaku Maezawa will be its first private passenger for a trip around the moon in 2023. He spoke about his decision at SpaceX headquarters in Hawthorne, California.
Many of you may be wondering, why do I want to go to the moon? What do I want to do there? For me, this project is very meaningful. I thought long and hard about how valuable it would be become the first private passenger to go to the moon. At the same time, I thought about how I can give back to the world and how this can contribute to world peace. This is my lifelong dream.
Maezawa, founder and CEO of the online fashion retailer Zozo, did not disclose how much he's paying for the chance to travel around the moon. Musk hopes to begin orbital testing of the Big Falcon rocket, or BFR, in 2 or 3 years, and he was cautious about being certain the moon mission will take place. Morris Jones is an Australian-based independent space analyst, and he tells VOA he was surprised that it was a private company, not a government-funded organization, that announced the first passenger flight around the moon.
It's the fact that realistically, even though commercial spaceflight has been gaining a lot of ground, a lot of people really didn't think that there was much potential for commercial human spaceflight in general, and especially not the idea of commercial human spaceflight beyond Earth orbit. We also thought that even though NASA has its troubles, there are also a lot of other space agencies that are coming to grips with human spaceflight, Russia, China, Japan, the European Union. And just as we saw some of those nations come together to build the International Space Station, we're also expecting an international lunar program comprised of government space agencies. And we really thought that that would probably be the next step in terms of sending astronauts to the moon.
Other companies like Blue Origin, headed by Amazon CEO Jeff Bezos, and Virgin Galactic, founded by Richard Branson, are also competing for commercial space flights in the near future. But Morris Jones thinks SpaceX might have a slight edge at the moment.
Well, I think the thing about Elon is that he's demonstrated that he can put a rocket into Earth orbit. He's also demonstrated that he can launch a space capsule and bring it back to Earth. Now, he's trying to turn the Dragon space capsule, which is currently just used for cargo, into a crew-carrying capsule. He's a bit behind schedule in terms of doing that. He's had some technical issues. But I think in due course he will master that technology. And even though the Dragon spacecraft and the Falcon 9 rocket won't be used for the lunar mission, it's going to, I think, prove a lot of the technologies in terms of life support that he will need for sending astronauts to the moon on the Big Falcon rocket, which is the new rocket he's currently developing.
Morris Jones said the Big Falcon rocket is designed to land vertically and not splash down. As for how common such space travel can be, Jones said it's simply too early to know whether this will become as common as air travel today, which also began modestly and was affordable only to the wealthy. We're glad you're starting out your week with us on VOA Asia. President Donald Trump will join other world leaders later Monday at the United Nations for their annual meetings. From wars to climate change to hunger and disease, there's no shortage of issues on their agenda. But the U.S. president is likely to steal much of the spotlight as many wait to hear what he has to say about progress on North Korea's denuclearization and other pressing issues. VOA UN correspondent Margaret Bashir takes a look at what we might expect.
President Trump made quite a debut at last year's General Assembly.
The United States has great strength and patience, but if it is forced to defend itself or its allies, we will have no choice but to totally destroy North Korea. Rocket Man is on a suicide mission for himself and for his regime.
He stunned leaders used to nuanced diplomacy, and many are wondering what he will do for an encore. Richard Gowan is with the UN University Center for Policy Research.
That was great television. It played incredibly well on U.S. networks. Trump is not really here to charm other leaders. He is here to make some headlines with some powerful statements just before the U.S. midterm elections. So there will be fire and there will be fury.
While his approach was unconventional and not without risk, it did lead to dialogue. Many will be watching to gauge Trump's tone on North Korea during his Tuesday morning address to the assembly. Leader Kim Jong-un will not be in the audience, but will likely be watching closely from Pyongyang. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo has also invited his North Korean counterpart to meet with him in New York. On Thursday, Pompeo will chair a meeting of the UN Security Council. He will brief on how discussions with North Korea are going and urge countries to keep up the sanctions pressure until Pyongyang takes concrete steps to denuclearize. The U.S. holds the rotating presidency of the Security Council, and President Trump will chair a meeting Wednesday to focus on nonproliferation. U.S. Ambassador to the United Nations Nikki Haley says he will talk a lot about Iran.
Iran continues to be a problem. Every dangerous spot in the world, Iran seems to have its fingerprints in it.
Iran's president will address the General Assembly on Tuesday and hold a news conference just hours after Trump's Security Council session on Wednesday. Margaret Bashir, VOA News, the United Nations.
Coming up, Afghan immigrants find comforting surroundings in their new home. You're listening to VOA Asia. This news from VOA Asia. New Zealand has marked the 125th anniversary of a historic move to give women the vote. It was the first country in the world to enact suffrage for women. Jacinda Ardern, New Zealand's third female prime minister, said the nation's 19th century fight for economic independence and equal rights still continues. VOA Asia Facebook continues each day to bring you top stories and great features. This is VOA Asia. As VOA Asia continues, Alameda County in California, known as a retreat for hippies 4 decades ago, has now become home to one of the largest Afghan-American communities in America. VOA's Sabasha Khan takes us to one area known as Little Kabul, now a cultural hub for the Bay Area's rapidly growing Afghan-American population.
The mountains that serve as a backdrop to Fremont City remind some residents here of their motherland, Afghanistan. Many came here to escape the Soviet-Afghan war in the 1970s and 80s. This street in particular is home to many Afghan restaurants and shops, an area many locals now call Little Kabul.
This is a small little Kabul here. It's Fremont Boulevard. You can find any type of food here as far as Afghani food, clothes. Basically, the whole culture of Kabul is right here in Fremont Boulevard.
For me, I mean, it just actually bring me back the memories that when I was in Kabul.
This is one of the first Afghan restaurants to open in Fremont City, a favorite eatery among locals. Many come here from far away to taste authentic, fresh Afghan kebabs.
We come here because the food is excellent here. Brother Aziz is a decent man.
I like the chicken the best of all the places around. I've tried almost everywhere. This is my favorite for the chicken.
And while many come here for the food, they almost always leave with a bit of Afghan history and culture.
I think food is a great way to learn about other people's cultures. When I step into this restaurant, I taste basically the recipes that are handed down to these people, and they opened a restaurant. And so I think food and restaurants are a great way to get used to someone's culture.
Up and down Fremont Boulevard, a variety of Afghan stores offer traditional jewelry, clothing, and various flavors from the old country. The Maiwand Market sells fresh Afghan bread called Barbary. The dough is kneaded by machine but cut into small pieces and flattened by hand to produce a 3-foot-long bread.
We always buy this bread because we love it. It feels like we are in home. And the texture of the bread, I've never tasted in any other places.
One triple. Okay. 20 minutes, thank you.
Some Afghan immigrants have moved on to other American cities, but not Aziz Umar, who owns a restaurant here.
I never gave up. It's been 25 years I've been here, and that's why I have an Afghan flag up there.
Because for many who have chosen to live here, giving up on Fremont's Little Kabul would be like giving up on Afghanistan. Sabasha Khan, VOA News, Fremont, California.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. You'll find us online at iTunes and SoundCloud, as you can download our program anytime you like. You can also stream our program each day. VOA Asia Facebook, of course, is a great place to do that, as well as our website, voanews.com. You'll also find that you can reach us through Facebook, and you can send us an email as well, voaasia@voanews.com. We thank everyone who is listening on the radio, PSU Radio Pattani FM 107.25 at Prince of Songkla University in Thailand. We appreciate everyone who's tuned in. And as always, we appreciate our director, Tracy Carter, our engineer, Zainab Abdel Rahman and her beautiful hat, our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. Have a great day.